When the fog descends around the Appalachian Mountains early in the morning, before the sun has time to burn it off, it hides the goodness and beauty of God's creation that we expect to look up and look out and see this gorgeous, breathtaking landscape, but the mountains are hidden from us. But when the fog finally lifts, we see again the goodness of God. Henry Ward Beecher, one of the most well-known preachers of the 19th century, said that gratitude is like trying to find iron filings in the middle of the sand. That without gratitude, we can run our hands over and over again all throughout the sand, but we struggle to find those iron filings. Gratitude is like taking a tiny magnet and running it over the surface of the sand, where the iron filings are revealed to us. That gratitude helps us see everything differently. That sometimes we witness the goodness of God and then gratitude rises up inside of us. But other times we practice gratitude in order to see God's goodness that is hidden from us. And it might be for simple things. I invited the congregation this week to send me one thing for which you are grateful, something that has given you strength in the recent months. And you said that you are grateful for singing silly songs with toddlers, for a husband who fixes toilets and makes blueberry muffins, for long walks with my wife, for prayers, cards, and phone calls during our daughter's illness, for cookies left at the doorstep, for dogs who give unconditional love, for successful back surgery, for going through letters and pictures left by my parents after the loss of my mother, and for the children and youth of the church. Admittedly, that confrontation between Jesus and a group of Pharisees and Herodians is an odd place to have a conversation about gratitude. Pharisees were experts in the law of Moses. Herodians were concerned with upholding the authority of Rome. So it was also odd that these two groups were working together. And they asked Jesus whether he will pay taxes to Caesar, choosing the side of the Herodians, or resist paying taxes to Caesar, choosing the side of the Pharisees. It was an either-or decision. But Jesus did not see it that way. He looked beyond this fog that had descended around him. Instead, he held up a Roman coin, a denarius, that had the picture of Caesar on it and an inscription that probably said, "Tiberius Caesar, son of the divine Augustus, high priest." The Pharisees demanded that Jesus denounce Caesar as divine. The Herodians demanded that Jesus uphold Roman authority. Instead, Jesus says, Give to the emperor everything that belongs to the emperor, and give to God everything that belongs to God. That Jesus found a different way. The way of gratitude that leads us through difficult moments, recognizing that all good things come from God. Because gratitude has the power to change how we see this world. Grateful for working from home and having a few extra moments in the morning for silence and reflection. For deepened and new friendships over Zoom, for our loving church family, for paring down our activities and remembering what is most important and sacred, for Mass, which helped protect us, for Leanne's daily songs, for God's creation and nature, and for Kroger curbside pickup. When Jesus said, if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you can look at this mountain and say, move from here to there, and it will move. I have often wondered, can we really move mountains? Gratitude has that kind of power because it changes how we see everything, where the fog begins to lift and we can make out the goodness of God. And the Apostle Paul knew the power of gratitude. It's why he begins his letter to the Thessalonians by saying, we always give thanks to God for all of you and mention you in our prayers, constantly remembering before our God and Father your work of faith, labor of love, and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. That Paul had to leave Thessalonica abruptly, escaping the threat of prison, so he was unable to say goodbye. And now he is writing back to that church, giving them instructions and advice. Now, perhaps he begins this letter with gratitude because he wants the people to listen closely to his advice. And we always listen better when we feel appreciated. But the people in Thessalonica knew Paul well. It is not like when he wrote his letter to the Romans, to a group of people he had never met, a group of strangers. So he begins that letter with his credentials. I am an apostle set apart for the gospel of God. That Paul wanted to give them reason to listen to him. But those in Thessalonica knew Paul well. They had shared meals with him, prayers with him, conversations with him. So he begins with gratitude. Less for them and more for himself. Because gratitude had given Paul the strength to keep going. That while sitting there in a prison elsewhere, he could have dusted off his resume. He could have thought about a very different career path. He could have chosen a safer way forward with a better dental plan. But gratitude was able to keep Paul moving forward. And our gratitude might feel simple, thankful for grandchildren, for friends, for a chance to help the sick as a medical professional, for the gift of study and preparing a Sunday school lesson, for financial stability and health, for the opportunity to teach as a career, for Chad and Gary and streaming Sunday services, for dinners that are not rushed, and conversation with my family on the patio. It might be simple, but it is no less powerful. Evelyn Underhill, that wonderful writer of spirituality, used to tell a story that sounds like a children's fable. There was an elf that lived in the woods, and he spent his days rolling his wheelbarrow around, collecting bugs and insects that were destroying the trees and the forest that he wanted to protect everything that was good around him. But one day, he found a blanket that had fallen off a fairy's wagon. And at night, he would curl up with this blanket to go to sleep. And he slept so soundly that he started having trouble getting up first thing in the morning and going about his day's work. Well, early each morning, the Creator would walk through the woods. But since the elf was fast asleep, he never got to witness the Creator, the one who made everything the elf was trying to protect. That in order to see the Creator, he needed to greet each morning, opening his eyes to the possibility of grace. That something so small can have a big difference. Because gratitude changes how we see everything. Grateful for afternoons working in the garden, for memories of college choir tours and singing in the sanctuary choir, for time with my three daughters this summer, for reconnecting with old friends, giving relief to that sense of isolation, and for a chance to encourage somebody else. That when the fog hides the mountains, we can learn to look beyond it. Grateful for healthcare workers and for workers who clean and sanitize buildings, for living in the same town with our daughter and family, for bike rides. Even though I have not ridden a bike since I was a child, and for my church, standing ready to serve and support. With the fog of the pandemic, there are serious concerns for which we should never close our eyes. We need to grieve, lament, and confront them. But let us also open our eyes to the possibility of grace, because there is strength to be found in gratitude. Amen.